Hello again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley. I greet you in Jesus' precious name, and what a name it is. I would like to share with you today from the Gospel of Mark and chapter 9. If you'll turn there, if you have a Bible or are interested enough to do so, I would share with you three verses from 38 through 41, and they read like this. John answered Jesus, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. And we forbade him because he followeth not us. Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water and drink it in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. It's an important thing to discover what sort of spirit we are of. Now, this shows a very sectarian spirit. The followers of Jesus were very unspiritual at this point, and they couldn't work out what was going on. If you go to Psalm 51, verse 10, Wash me that I shall be white as snow, and create within me a clean heart, O God. It was easy to say, but it wasn't easy to allow that to happen. And it hadn't happened to John and those that were with him. Our spirit sometimes is in need of correction. Let me just take you through some scripture here. In this Gospel of Mark and this 9th chapter, we'll stay in this chapter, and I would ask you to look at verses 5 and 6. Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Now, they had seen the transfiguration. That's what we call it. And the reason he said this, verse 6 tells us, for he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. So instead of thinking a thing through or waiting until an explanation is given, he just came up with a careless spirit. And we sometimes exhibit the same careless spirit. We keep talking, and we don't like silence. I was in a prayer meeting some years ago where the men used to come to our house on a Saturday morning at 6 o'clock, and we would pray for, I don't know, about an hour and 30 minutes, something like that. And we would pray for tomorrow, Sunday. And we would pray that the Lord's Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us and direct us and so on. Well, everybody had prayed round, but I was caught up in praying, and I was in a place that the other men weren't. I was forgetful of them. I wasn't right to be so forgetful. Suddenly, I heard a fellow pronouncing the benediction, and then everybody got off their knees except me, and he came over to me and shook my shoulder, and he said, well, let's have coffee. And later, I said to him, why did you do that? He said, well, we've been nearly 10 minutes in complete silence, and you didn't take the lead. We sometimes are frightened of being silent. Be silent. Don't be frightened to be silent in front of the Lord Jesus. Then there's another spirit. It's called a blind spirit. It's found in verse 10. They kept the saying with themselves, questioning one with another what the rising from the dead should mean. Look at verse 32. But they understood not that saying and were afraid to ask Jesus. If you come across a scripture that you do not understand, and nobody seems to give you a good answer, then go to the Lord Jesus. The Word of God is simply a portrait of the Lord Jesus. So ask him, and he will tell you. He will let your inner person know. And then we have a third spirit, which is a powerless spirit. Look at verses 28 and 29. When he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out, the evil spirit, out of the young person? The answer that Jesus gave, he said to them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. So prayer and fasting come in here. Why do we have a powerless spirit? Jesus said, you didn't pray and fast. You weren't in my presence. You did not earn the presence of the Holy Spirit. You did not have that power because you didn't ask. In James we read, ye have not because ye ask not. And we need power. Where is the power of God? Where is this power of God? Why isn't it on exhibition today? Some of our mega churches are massive, but there is no power. Well, then there's a fourth spirit that I would turn your attention to for a moment. I call it a proud spirit. We've seen a careless spirit, a blind spirit, a powerless spirit. Now we come to a proud spirit. And in verses 33 and 34, look at this. He came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? And they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. In other words, they were saying, this president is going to end his term, or this savior is going to die, he said so. So who's going to take his place? And it was very common, but they had a proud spirit. And they didn't like to tell him what they had been saying because they were all saying in different ways, I am the greatest. I can take his place. And then verse 38 tells us the sectarian spirit that I want to deal with. This sectarianism is with us today. Verse 38 says, John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us, and we forbade him, because he followeth not us. What was Jesus' answer? Forbid him not. Don't stop him. He can't do a miracle. He can't cast out devils in my name and speak evil of me. So he that is not against us is with us. We sometimes miss these lessons. Well, let's see some seven lessons if there's time today. The advancement of the kingdom comes by taking the lowest place. Verse 38, John answered Jesus. The link is the word and. Look at that verse. It starts off, and John answered Jesus. He had an answer. The advancement of the kingdom is by taking the lowest place. What had gone before? Verses 33 through 37, our Lord knew what was in their hearts, and the hearts of the people he understood. Verse 33 tells us this. They came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that you disputed among yourselves in the way? But they held their peace, and so on. They wouldn't tell him, but he knew. Jesus knows your very thoughts. Had it been Peter or Judas, we would not have been surprised, but this was John. John, this beloved servant of the Lord Jesus. He was asking questions. He was questioning Jesus in his heart, and how easy it is for anyone to fail in this area. And fail the Lord as Moses did when he spoke out of turn. And you can read that in Psalm 106 and verse 33. David did the same sort of thing, though he was a man after God's own heart. And look at 2 Samuel 11 and verse 27. Or as Paul and Barnabas, when they had a sharp upset and no meeting of the minds in Acts 15 and 39. Now see three things and understand them. How patient the Lord is with his children. That's number one. And we must be patient with one another. James 5 and verse 9 tells us this. And when we are conscious of failure, we must first confess it to God. The first epistle of John chapter 1 and verse 9 tells us that we must confess our sins, and he who can cleanse us from all our sins does so, and all unrighteousness. And we must confess our faults to one another, James 5 and 16. Here is a second thought. The best of John is found here. It's incredible that John did all the talking in this chapter. Verse 38, John answered him, answered Jesus. And understand the Lord employs a great variety of workers in his service. Here the disciples were looking at one who followeth not us. In the Lord's vineyard are many different kinds of workers. We should not be surprised. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 1:26 through 29 and in 1 Corinthians 12 verses 4 through 18 tells us of the diversities of the gifts, the differences of administrations, the diversities of operations, and so on. The world round God has witnesses, different, but recognize this big and massive truth. There is a place for the man that is full of knowledge. There is a place for the man who is pragmatic and forceful and powerful. There is the John Baptist who is necessary to call on people and say, the Lord is coming, he's coming, he's coming. But that gets old sometimes. Then there's the soft-spoken person and the person that isn't easily intimidated and so on. All sorts of people are employed. Take any church. We have committees. And so we say to the committee, we would like to have a potluck. Will you arrange it? So that committee runs off and arranges a potluck. We have a building committee. Well, we would like to build a new vestry, a new set of doors on the front of the church. So will you arrange it? So they go off and find the carpenters and the builders and they get the estimates and they do all of that, the administrative things. Or we want to put a new piece of wiring in so that we can have a new cooking stove and this, that and the other. And then we have the finance. Oh, the finance committee is a very worshipped group of people because here we have people that understand what we're going to spend and how we're going to get all the money in. So it goes on and on ad nauseam. And we have sometimes gone too far with our organizations. And it's necessary that we need to recognize the great truth that around God these witnesses stand and everybody is different. There may be a dozen different gifts being used. I came across this years ago when I was preaching in a place and this woman got up and she started speaking in tongues. And I didn't know what to do and I looked around and we had a full house of people. The gallery was full and the people on the floor absolutely jammed. And I said, excuse me, ma'am, excuse me, just a moment before you go any further. Is there an interpreter in this house of believers? Now, I was a Baptist, amongst the Baptists of the Baptists sort of thing. Here I was in this massive congregation, several hundred people. And this woman was standing alone. Everybody else was seated, and she was wanting to speak in tongues. But nobody was an interpreter. So I said, ma'am, can you resist speaking in tongues until we have finished? You see, this is a time of preaching, and I am the preacher. After the service, meet me in that room over there. You can speak in tongues for as long as you want to speak in tongues, and I will be there with you. And some deacons will be there. So that's what we did. It was total gibberish as far as I was concerned at that time. When we went into the room, a man came in who none of us knew. He said, I am an interpreter of speaking in tongues. And we were a little shocked, but pleased at the same time. And when she spoke in tongues, he interpreted. And it was a blessing to all of us to hear what God was saying through the woman. It's just that she spoke at the wrong time. So there's a diversity of gifts, and so on. Then there's another area that we get into in this verse 38. This man was a miracle worker. John said, concerning the miracle worker, he followeth us not. Now, a rigid sectarianism is an abomination to the Lord, I believe. And I think we need to be very careful about condemning people and washing them out. There is a man that I think is to be highly esteemed amongst preachers, but he has a little church and not many people are there. And one day I said to some godly men who were sitting with me, I said, it just bothers me that this man is working so hard and seeing such little results. Can we bring him into our fellowship as well and share in the wealth of what God is giving him? And one man leaned back. He said, well, he's got a funny idea about healing, and I can't accept that, so we don't want him. We. Notice those two pronouns. I was just flabbergasted that he would be so sectarian. Evidently here in this piece of scripture, this miracle worker believed on the Lord and thought he was working in his name. Otherwise, Jesus would not have commended him. He seems to have had a powerful ministry. The disciples thought they were the elect ones, and no one else counted. They were indignant that anyone but the inner circle should be using the name of their precious master. We need to cultivate a broad sympathy and love for all those who truly belong to the Lord Jesus. In Galatians 3:28, we read, we are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, devil possession still goes on today. And I don't want to get into too much of a discussion here, but the exorcising of devils or demons is very important. In verse 38, we read that this man was exorcising devils or demons. And in the day in which we live, we have many devils that we don't call devils, but they're as real today as they were 1900 years ago. The gospel contains many instances of this. The Lord Jesus did this on a number of occasions. You can get into Mark verse 9 and verses 14 through 29, which tells us that when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them, and straightway all the people, when they beheld Jesus, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, why question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Jesus answereth him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. They brought him unto Jesus, and when he saw Jesus, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell to the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, when he was a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us, help us. Jesus said to him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help mine unbelief. Jesus saw the people running together and rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch as many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. What a day that must have been for that family. This boy that had this awful thing happening to him was lifted up, cured of his mental illness. The Lord Jesus did this on lots of occasions, and probably many of our physical illnesses are caused by satanic influence. And I know that a lot of the mental illnesses of today are satanic in influence. Instead of going to the psychiatrist with this young man that killed so many darling children in Connecticut, maybe we would do ourselves a favor to address the scriptures, and all the clergy of that area would address the scriptures and ask that the people throughout this country who have a similar evil spirit would have that spirit cast out of them. You see, Satan hasn't changed, and we are apt to underestimate his power and the frequency that he misleads us, because he does not reveal himself as a roaring lion, according to 1 Peter 5:8, but rather as an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11 and 14. And you might also look at Ephesians 6 and 12. Why are we so powerless to exorcise evil spirits and to free those who have been brought into bondage by the enemy? I would say this to the people in Connecticut and all the schools of this country. Maybe, just maybe, instead of saying we may not pray in schools, we would get all those that would pray and start school a half hour earlier and allow us to pray, Lord, deliver us from evil. See, the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Forgive us our trespasses in the same manner that we forgive those that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We have said in our school districts, we cannot pray that prayer. So why is it so amazing that someone stands with a machine gun and cuts down darling children? Why are we so surprised? We don't talk to God. When that came up in the last few weeks, the tragedy of it is just overwhelming. But that's old Satan doing his thing again. I'm so simple-minded that I really believe that, and I encourage you to consider it. You see, he is our enemy, and we are not powerless towards our enemy, and we can exorcise evil spirits, and we can be free of those who have been brought into bondage by the enemy. It can be done. Read this scripture in Mark 9 again. Notice another thing. And it is that our God is still the God of miracles. And we are told in verse 38 that this unnamed man was actually performing a miracle. In verse 39, the Lord Jesus Christ confirmed the fact. He was an instrument. God was doing the miracles. But do miracles happen today? Of course they do. Apart from the fact that we have seen miracles, we have our Bibles before us that contain many prayer promises, many of them in the actual words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And those who engage us to pray and to expect miracles. And if you don't believe me, in your own time, look up Mark 9:23, which I'll read to you. Jesus said, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And also look up Matthew and chapter 17 and verse 20. Last of all and quickly, I must say this to you, the simplest service rendered in the name of the Lord Jesus is noticed by him and will be rewarded by him. Verse 41, whosoever shall give a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Whoever ministers to God's children will be rewarded, and this surely means that we should do everything in his name, even common tasks of every day. And there are scriptures to look at, Colossians 3:17, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And look at 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. We are not doing that in our churches, so why should we do it in our schools? We are not doing this sort of thing. We hardly believe what I have been saying. But this is a challenge to all of us, that we may awake and believe the Lord Jesus Christ. And he that believeth, said Jesus, shall be saved. So I share these dear thoughts with you and ask you, consider Christ, your Saviour, your Lord of all. Let's pray. Lord, will you bless us now? Will you encourage us to be bold and pray, deliver our schools, our darling children from evil, and keep us in the peace of God that passes all understanding. Keep us and hold us, Lord. These things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. The Lord bless you. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.